series is on Joshua, and I wanted to, we're going to Old Testament, and I wanted to preach it for a while because I wanted to do it at the time that we are making this transition from here into our new home. So I've been waiting to preach this series for a while, and I'm starting it this week in faith that I'm going to finish it off in our new building. It's 150 sermons. No, that's right. No. No, I've only got three. So, but hoping, we're in faith, we're going to be in by the time that this all finishes. Right, okay. And it's a short series on the book of Joshua. And I've entitled the series, I hope this is going to work. Oh, yes, yes, I love it when things come together. Taking Ground. That's a theme that we have for this year. At the start of the year, we set a theme that we're taking ground. And that's obviously part of moving into our new home, but also that we want to take ground in our lives for God, in our faith, in our impact on this world and the community around us, that it's more than just a building, but it's a spiritual taking ground that God has for us. And I think it's really appropriate as we move into our new home and that we physically take ground. There's obvious comparisons, which we'll come on to, where Joshua leads the people into land, the story of the book of Joshua. Let me give you a little bit of history of where this all comes from, if you're not familiar. So, the people of Israel are in Egypt. They'd been there for hundreds of years. This all started off well with Joseph and everything, but it went downhill. And after about 400 years, Pharaoh and the whole situation had changed. They were now in slavery. God sends Moses. Moses goes in, has various interactions with Pharaoh. Lots of plagues and all sorts of things go on until Pharaoh eventually lets the people go. Passover and all of that. So the people leave Egypt, and the Egyptians say, that wasn't a very good idea. Where have our slaves gone? We'll chase them. But God parts the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea, or whatever you want theologically. The sea opens, and the people of God go through, and the Egyptians think that's a good idea. We'll follow them. Not a good idea, because the sea closes over them. They all drown. And the people of Israel are free in the wilderness. Woo-hoo! And then there's this journey, and God takes them, and we have the law given on Mount Sinai to Moses, and then the people go to the promised land, the land that had been promised to Abraham way back at the start, that they go to this land that God had promised them. And before they go in, they send spies in. Joshua is one of those spies. Another one is Caleb. And then there's another 10 from different 10 tribes. They go in, and they come back, and they report that this is a great place. But it's also a scary place because there are giants in the land, and we're not strong enough to go in there. And Joshua and Caleb said, "Oh yes, we are." And the 10 said, "Oh yes, we are." And the Israelite people went with the majority. Bad move. They said, "No, we're not powerful enough." And God said, "Well, that's it. You're not going to go in." Then they decided, "Well, we'll try it after all." They said, "No, it's too late." They tried it. It didn't go well. They ended up 40 years in the wilderness, God provided for them. God was there with them, and eventually they come back to the promised land. A whole generation of fighting men dies apart from Joshua and Caleb, the only two to actually survive that. Moses himself doesn't even get into the promised land. He gets to see it, which I think is really tough. He gets to go and have a look at it, and God says, "There it is. You don't get it." I don't get that, but he doesn't get to go into the promised land, but Joshua is to lead the people into the promised land. And the book of Joshua is the story of the conquest of this promised land, going in and before the other nations and removing the other nations. It's an inspiring book. It's a hugely controversial book because it deals with whole nations being wiped out, and a lot of people really struggle with that. And what does it mean? And there's a lot of theology around that. It's a hugely challenging book in terms of faith. The heroic figures, Joshua and Caleb, I think are great heroes, both great heroes of the faith. Joshua is almost perfect. For those of you who are old enough to remember Fergal Sharkey and the Undertones, he sang a song called My Perfect Cousin. I won't do it in an Irish accent, but My Perfect Cousin. He could do everything, straight A's and everything. Joshua's a bit like that. You either love him or you get really annoyed because he just does everything well. Joshua's great and he does everything well. And then Caleb, I love Caleb because Caleb's the spirit that Caleb has. And I love the bit when they're in the land and he's 80 years old and he says, "I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago. Let me go in and take the land." And I love that. I love these guys. They're real heroes. And there's many similarities to Liberty's journey. as we look through these out. We are stepping into new ground, of course. We are moving into our new building. We're taking ground in the same way as the people of Israel under Joshua move in and take the land. So there's a similarity there. 40 years! Well, that's kind of for us at the moment, 40 years of Liberty Church. Not a direct comparison, but there's a 40th year. 21 years we've been camping out in Pitcorthy Primary School. And now in Queen Anne, camping out, waiting for the time when we can move in to our own building. And even the two fighting men that remain, Joshua and Caleb, the ones who were there right at the start 40 years ago in there. And last week we had two of our fighting ladies who had been there right at the start, cutting that cake, celebrating people who are going to go into the land with us. And that's really exciting. I don't know which one you want to be, Isabel and Shoni. You can be Joshua or Caleb. Take your pick. Either one is pretty good. So we've got some similarities, and it seems appropriate, therefore, to preach this at the time of taking ground. Now, today, this morning, I want to focus on one phrase that comes up again and time. See many times. If you're studying a book in the Bible or a passage in the Bible, actually in any literature, I guess, but particularly when we're looking at the Bible, one of the good things to do is to look at words or phrases that are repeated, something that comes up again and again, that would actually, because usually when that happens, it's saying something important. For instance, let's take it to our own current situation at the moment. If in 1,000 years people were looking back at the news reports of our time and our place, or looking at videos, or looking at newspapers, there is one word that stands out. Does anybody know what that word might be? Not even going to say it. Yeah, yes, you're quite right. That word. And it defines so much of where we're at as a nation at the moment. It's a really important word that comes up again and again and again. And I believe that these words, which we're going to look at this morning, set a tone for the whole book. And they also speak to us as we move into our new home. What are these words? Well, let's read a few passages. I'm actually going to go before Joshua. We're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a second reading of the law, where Moses reads the law to the people on the edge of the promised land, like a reaffirming this covenant with God, who they are in God, before Moses dies and they go in. So, let me read a few verses. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Be strong and courageous. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. He's gathered them together. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. That is the people in the land, the ones, the giants in the land, you remember from 40 years ago. Do not be terrified of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In the following verses, Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord gave this, and then in Deuteronomy, and later in the chapter, the Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun. Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. Let's move into Joshua chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 5 to 9. No one, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Moses is now dead. Joshua is leading the people, and the Lord says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Later in that chapter, the people say to Joshua, just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And then we move into chapter 10. At this stage, they're in the land. They've just conquered the Amorites, Amorite kings, and the people and the army is there. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you are going to fight. Can anybody guess what the words are this morning? Oh, yes. How did you know? Be strong and courageous, or be strong and very courageous, as it says in one thing. Be strong and courageous. Again and again, Moses says it to the people. Moses says it to Joshua. The Lord says it to Joshua. The Lord says it to Joshua again. The people say it to Joshua, and Joshua says it to the people. Everybody's been strong and courageous. And then to emphasize that, again and again, we see in these passages. I'm not very good with this. I need to move on. Again and again, as if to emphasize that, it's reiterated, do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. So we see a theme emerging in these early chapters of Joshua, vital to the book. And perhaps that's significant for you. Perhaps these words, maybe you've read them in the past and they've been significant for you on occasions. They have been significant for me, I know. They've been spoken over me. Personally, particularly in this time of moving into the building, and I've had that spoken over me by other people more than once. Be strong and courageous. We all face situations in life where we need to be strong and courageous. And maybe for you, you're going through that situation right now. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, yep. I need strength and I need courage to face the situations of life. Maybe it's a situation of ill health. Maybe there's been a diagnosis and you realize that this is going to be a fight and you need to fight through this and you need to be strong and courageous. Maybe for some, there's a sense of loss. You've lost somebody and life is very different and you need to be strong and courageous. Maybe it's redundancy and all the challenges that brings. Maybe there's a challenge at work or at school. Maybe if you're part of Woodmill School at the moment, a lot of people having to be strong and courageous. And maybe there's a situation or a meeting you need to go in to a person and have a confrontation. You know it's going to be confrontational with somebody, and you need to know. You need to be strong and courageous. Perhaps you've been persecuted for your faith, bullied or ridiculed or mocked, and you want to stand up for what you believe, but you know it's going to take strength and courage. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Be strong and courageous. Ironically, it just seems when I was writing this sermon last night, and as my file went into meltdown, I quickly followed it. I picked myself up and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, it's time to practice what I'm writing and preaching at the moment. Be strong and courageous. And there are times it seems that we're under attack from the enemy. Last night seemed like one of those. And there have been many even around as we've been pushing forward with God. In situations around the church and in your life, you will know that there seems to be attack. Sometimes it's very obvious. It's no less painful, but it's obvious there's an attack from our enemy who doesn't want us to succeed. And we need to be strong and courageous. And we hear stories of great strength and courage, don't we? We see stories in war, people who step out and do something ultimately heroic, or in social reform, and they do something and they sacrifice themselves. And we hear great stories of great heroism and people doing great things. Humans are capable of great strength and courage, and very often we think we're not until we're in a situation where we have to face it, and then we realize something rises within us that we never knew was there. And we find ourselves in that situation, a strength or a courage, and that seems to be a common pattern. But what do we mean here by strength and courage? What does it mean to be strong? Does it mean we go to the gym every day? Does it mean we work out, we pull some, pump some iron? We build up some physical strength. We are strong. We could lift weights that nobody else could lift. We've got muscles where other people haven't even got places. And is that right? Anyway, and you think, oh, is it physical strength? Well, clearly not. And the word here in the Hebrew is It talks about standing strong or being resilient or fortified or hard. There's a sense of permanence there in being strong. In fact, actually, it's the same word that's used of Pharaoh. When Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, "Let the people go," and then and it says again and again that Pharaoh hardens his heart. It's the very same word. He hardens his heart. There's a stubbornness. There's a thinking, no, that's not going to happen. That which I love, no, it's not going to happen. So it's used in various forms, but it means to stand firm. And I love the verses, and it reminds me of the verses in Ephesians 6 where Paul talks about the armor of God, and he says, stand. And after you have done everything, just stand with the armor of God. It's a sense of permanence, of perseverance, of resilience, to stand firm, to be strong. And courage, well, actually, courage is very similar. The word courage actually has some very similar meanings, and it's defined in actually the same words. But for me, I think of courage as almost a sense of moving forward. If strength is to stand, then courage is to step forward. Step forward into the unknown, step forward into a fearful situation, step forward where you know there is danger or you know there is an obstacle, to face it. And that's courage. It's the kind of David and Goliath situation where you know there's a giant there, but you're going to go anyway. Be strong and courageous. Joshua is leading the people into a new land, which is flowing with milk and honey, as it's described. But there are giants in the land. They've been told that. They know there are nations there they're going to have to conquer. They're going to need to be strong and courageous. Where does this strength and this courage come from? Very clear from the passages that we read. Let me go through some of these and let's see. Go back through some of these passages that we read. Deuteronomy 31. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The next passage. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Later in the chapter, and I myself, says the Lord, will be with you. Let's move into Joshua. As I was with Moses, says the Lord, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will never leave you nor forsake you. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses, as the people say. It's not our strength. It's not something that we summon up from within ourselves. It's God with them. The people were clear. They were not to rely on their military strength, the number of horses they had, the resources they had. They were to rely and trust in the Lord their God. Their strength had to be in God. He had led them and he would go before them. His people needed to trust in him. The Lord promises to go before and to be with. And the people had known the presence of God in their midst. It's not like God had just turned up. He'd been there. He'd rescued them from Egypt. He'd brought them into freedom. He'd fed them. He'd given them water. He'd resourced them. They'd already conquered kings to get to the place where they were in kingdoms. He lived amongst them. And now he says, be strong and courageous because I am with you. I don't know about you, but often I feel the very opposite of strong and courageous. Sometimes I go into meltdown. Sometimes I feel very weak and fearful and small and insignificant. And that's okay. That's okay because it's not down to us. I love the verses that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. Where he says, the Lord says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. As he talks about the thorn in the flesh that he has, which has not been taken away. And then he says later on, for when I am weak, then I am strong. That seems a strange statement, doesn't it? It's not about our strength. It's about admitting our weakness and placing our trust in God. The realization that we need to depend on God. And the only reason to be strong and courageous, the only reason they could be, was because God was with them. As they entered the promised land, knowing God was with them. But it's not just a promise to Joshua. Jesus repeats these words at the end of Matthew's gospel in what we call the Great Commission. He says, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. That's now. We're in the age that those times. Surely I will be with you. The promises to us, the presence of God with us. Last week as we celebrated 40 years, we had the great celebrations. What a great day. And I'm talking about the marks of the early church, which are to mark us out. One of those is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit with us. God in us and on us and working through us. As we take ground, as we move into the new home, the call is to be strong and courageous. I believe it's a call to us as we move forward. Just like the promised land flowing with milk and honey, we are looking forward to our new building. It might not be flowing with milk and honey, but there will be many blessings. I believe we will be blessed in our new home. It's an exciting venture. What an exciting thing it is for anyone to move into a new home, but for us as Liberty Church to move in. That's exciting. And I believe great blessing awaits us there. But I know that to get to this point has required strength and courage. We've faced more than a few challenges along the way. Finding a building in the first place, we've looked at many over the years. And then getting to the place where we've said, this is the right one. Committing to that building. Getting through planning permission. Having to appeal again against ridiculous car park instructions. Delays and more delays. Land sale, which is still not resolved. And all of these things. And I have to admit, personally, and maybe for others as well, there are times when it seemed overwhelming. I think, is it really worth it? Times when I need to know that God was with us, and God has made it clear, even in these last months, that He is with us. So as we move in there, there will be more challenges. We have an enemy who does not want us to take ground. We will face more challenges. There'll be technical challenges, and people challenges, and building challenges, and all kinds of things. We'll have our own home to clean and maintain and pay for. There'll be a community of people who we want to come in, but they'll make mess. They won't treat it the same as we do. Are we ready for that? And it's going to take time and effort and finances. And then we want to reach out to those around us with the good news of Jesus. And we need to be strong and courageous. And then we've got two phases more to build. Still more work to do. We need to hear those words. Be strong and courageous. Just like Joshua, we know that God is with us. He made that clear by His word, and He's made it clear through our experience. As we take ground, we know our God is with us. But it's not just about our new home. It's about our lives as a family of God. It's about our individual lives, our family lives, and the situations that we face. Perhaps you are going through something right now. Perhaps you need to hear those words for yourself. Whatever we face in life, we need to know that God is with us. Never a time when we are alone, when we have to face life alone. Our God goes before us always. And we can be strong and courageous because of Him. And in all the things that Tim talked about in worship this morning, about where we put our trust. Do we trust in our own resources? Do we trust in our money for life? Do we trust in the resources that we have? Or will we place our trust in everything in our God? That's what God was calling the people of Israel to do. And the greatest example, of course, of strength and courage is our own Lord Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, who set His face to the cross, knowing the pain that awaited Him. Not just the physical pain, but the weight of our sin. I can't begin to imagine what that's like. And it's not for us to imagine what it's like. And there we see Him in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night He was betrayed, wrestling with His human weakness, asking that if it were possible, could it be taken away? But then saying, not my will, God. Not my will, Father, but Yours be done. And with great strength and great courage, He went to the cross for us. And as we come to take communion together, it's a reminder of that great strength and courage, of a price paid for our sin that we could never pay. And the message of the cross is one of grace, of amazing grace. God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Reconciling us to God through His grace and mercy. Joshua could not face the giants on his own. And God wasn't asking him to. His strength and his courage and his trust had to be in the God who goes with him. And I believe that God is saying to us, do you trust me with everything? Do you trust me with everything? But if so, if you will trust me, then be bold, be strong and courageous. As you move into your new home, be strong and courageous. As you bring the good news to this community, be strong and courageous. As you face life's challenges individually, as families and together, be strong and courageous. Why? Because I am with you. As I was with Moses, so I am with you. It's the same God, the same power, the same Spirit. And perhaps for someone today, here today, that this is a day to trust your life to Jesus. And that in itself requires strength and courage to give our lives to God and to turn to Him and say, I want to go with you, God. Yes, I want to follow you. That requires being strong and courageous. But the truth is, we were never meant to fix things on our own. And He has done what you cannot do, what we cannot do. And He makes a way to a promised land that's way more than a building. It's way more even than the beautiful land of Egypt, of Israel, which flows with milk and honey. He invites us into His family to become children of the living God. For all of us, though, as we move into this new season, I believe great blessing awaits us. I believe there is a promised land. I believe it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and that God is leading us into somewhere which there we will see great blessing. And with it, more than a few challenges. So as we go through this month, as we prepare ourselves for a new era in the life of Liberty Church, in a new home, let us hear these words resounding in our hearts and in our spirits. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Why? Because as I was with Moses, so I am with you. Amen.